tell us a little bit about your communications with her, and what are you hearing out of Cairo from her?
Nothing. I mean, they shut off the internet and phone service. They shut off the internet last night, and they shut off the phone service this morning. I talked to her at 7:45 this morning, and she was fine. And then after that, everything went dead. So the government is basically trying to stop demonstrations by killing cell phone service and by killing the internet.
Do you know how close she is to what's going on physically? Is she in the same? I mean, Cairo's a massive city, obviously.
Yeah. Actually, she's in the best location she could be in. She lives on an island in the Nile. And if she were on the fifth floor of her building, she could look out and see the demonstrations across the Nile. She's on the second floor, which means there are kind of leafy trees in the way. Certainly, when the demonstrations were broken up on Wednesday night, she heard it. It woke her up at 1 in the morning. But basically, the police have blockaded the bridges across the Nile, so the demonstrations aren't crossing the bridge. And so she's in about the best location she could be. Her office is on the same island, about a 15-minute walk away on the other side of the island. And there are 32 embassies on the island. So it's very well protected by the police. And as I understand, the police have blockaded all bridges onto the island. So she can't get off, no one can get on. So I think she's in the best location she could be.
It's interesting that there's a communications blackout given both of your lines of work and Susie specifically, you know, working in Cairo to set up, you know, media and communications outlets for people to express themselves freely. Can you talk a little bit about her work there and your work and how this is all plays into it?
Basically, we both do media development programs that are contracted with the United States Agency for International Development. And I run the Serbia program. She runs the Egypt program. And we work more with independent media. She works more with some of the more established. There isn't much independent media in Egypt, frankly. But she does a lot of training of journalists, trying to get them to learn about journalistic ethics and stuff. And when I was in Egypt doing some work before she was there, I also trained bloggers. And the bloggers are really an important part of what's happening. And that's why they shut off the internet.
What are your hopes of getting in touch with her again? Do you think that you know, how long do you think it's going to be until they turn things back on? Is this a sustainable move by the Egyptian government?
I have no idea. I mean, my guess is that when the office opens on Sunday, she may have access to a landline, and I may be able to talk to her then. I have not much hope to talk to her before then, although I try her mobile phone every couple of hours. I get the same intercept message in Arabic, which is basically it isn't working. But I knew that because, you know, all the, you know, CNN and BBC are all talking about how the internet and the cellular networks have been shut down by Egypt. It's pretty unprecedented. It's pretty amazing, actually.
When you talked to her, did she say anything about how the people she's working with were reacting to what the government is doing, or if they're, you know, able to record or cover any of what's happening?
Well, I know that there's actually been, if you look at the El Haram website, and El Haram is usually considered a semi-official newspaper, they've actually been covering this, which I think is pretty amazing. Maybe not to the extent that it's been covered elsewhere, and I haven't looked at their website recently, but, you know, they were actually doing some coverage of it. It was also covered on Egypt Radio, although much less, you know, much less to an extent than we are getting from the BBC. And the BBC is my main source of news right now, BBC and the New York Times website.
And so the two of you have, you know, done this work for a while now. I would imagine you've been in, you know, situations that have been resistant to free expression before. But is this pretty unprecedented as far as what you've encountered in your work overseas?
Not at all. I mean, we worked in Serbia under Milosevic. And we've both been through four evacuations. So, I mean, okay. And by the way, the U.S. Embassy website is down because they're part of the same internet blockade. But the State Department issued something about an hour ago just saying to all Americans, stay put. Don't try and leave the country. Just stay put. Americans aren't the target. Just stay put. And I think that's perfectly good advice. That's what Susie was following anyway.
Well, certainly, you know, wish you both the best of luck. And when you're able to speak with her, please pass along our thoughts. We're all thinking of both of you today. So
my guess is right now she's pretty bored. I mean, she's sitting in an apartment, no internet, no phone. basically on an island where, she can go 200 yards up the road to the Marriott Hotel and get something nice to eat if she wants to. But my guess is, she's in a part of town where it's very quiet and where she's kind of isolated. So my guess is she's bored more than anything.
Wow. Well, I guess that's the best under the circumstances you could ask for.
Oh, I think so, yeah. We've both been through this before. I mean, in Albania, that we were there before there was internet or cell phones and people couldn't get a hold of us, and we got out when it was time. We went to ground and then got out when it was time. She's been through this before. She knows what she's doing. And so I'm not really worried about her. I think she'll be fine. You know, the home office is sending me all these emails. What should we do? What should we do? I say, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Just sit and wait. And then, when a window opens up, we'll make contact and we'll see what happens. I actually have more experience in this than the people in the home office in D.C., which is interesting. And Susie does too, of course. Because we've been through four of these crises already.
Yeah, so they're just looking to you to say, kind of measuring their anxiety off of how stressed out you guys are about it, and you seem pretty placid and just kind of wait it out.
Well, obviously I'm concerned and stressed, but I mean, I've been through it before. I know the drill, and I know there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And I know that Susie is smart and she knows what she's doing. She's been through it before. I mean, for instance, before this happened, we knew if they cut the internet, the ATMs would go down. So she did that part. She brought in a week's supply of canned goods in the apartment. She's boiled water, so she's got clean water because the water, you don't drink the Cairo water. She bought bottled water for other things. So, I mean, I know she's her apartment is supplied with food, and she's got reading material, so she's got what she needs. The one possible hang-up was her passport was in one of the ministries to get a visa, and she just demanded to get it back, and she got it back, so she's got her passport with her. So, I mean, she's done what she has to do. And she's got her trash bag packed. I mean, if you're ordered to, if there's a window to get out and they send the car to get you, you grab your bag and you go, and she's got all her essentials in the crash bag. So we all do that anyway. I mean, I even have a crash bag here in Serbia in case something happens.
What do you think this means for the future of free and open media in Egypt? I know Egypt had kind of been a little different than some of its neighbors in the region in loosening, and having a little more open exchange. Do you think that this is going to have a detrimental effect on that?
I think ultimately it'll have a good effect. I mean, I think ultimately the power of the internet, it's not going to be stopped. I mean, it's stopped temporarily, but I'm optimistic for the long term. And look, I mean, the way the news cycle worked in Egypt was this. The official press wouldn't report anything. Bloggers would report something. Al Jazeera over in Qatar would pick it up. They'd send the reporters out to cover it. It would get on satellite TV in Al Jazeera, and then Egyptian local media would have to cover it. So, I mean, it's an interesting news process. And so the internet was key to this, which is, of course, why they're shutting the internet down now. But in the long run, it's not sustainable, because a lot of Egypt's business is related to the internet, needed on the internet.
Well, Rich, is there anything that I missed? I can't claim to be.
Well, just ask everybody in Sitka to light a candle for Susie.
All right. Thanks again, Rich. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Ed. Take care.
All right. You too.